Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning as we're privileged to worship God on the fourth Sunday of the Advent season as we celebrate the hope of the ever-increasing light of Christ's presence among us. Thank you for your presence in the Lord's house this morning. Please check your flyer and your bulletin and take note of the details about the Christmas collection and the warmth tree, both of which have deadlines of today, the food pantry drive, which has a deadline of next Sunday, and the Christmas Eve special offering. Your contributions to these ministries are genuinely appreciated. In your bulletin also, please take note of the flyer for registering attendance for the Christmas Eve worship services. We are offering three services at 5 o'clock, at 6:15, and 7:30 p.m. We're asking folks to please register by filling out the flyer and placing it in the offering tray at the central entrance on your way out, or please call or email the church office. This year's Christmas Eve services will focus on the lighting of the Christ candle, but we'll have to forego many of the customs as we normally participate in on Christmas Eve because of the social distancing requirements. As of this past Friday, we have count so far, we have 31 people signed up for the 5 o'clock service, 10 for the 6:15 service, and 23 for the 7:30 service, so there's plenty of room for you to still register and attend Christmas Eve. I want to say welcome once again to Brad Zimmerman, longtime friend of Berry Christian Church, who is filling in for Lenora today, and also Gail Gentry, who's filling in for Andrew today. We anticipate that both Lenora and Andrew will be back on Christmas Eve. So before we invite Gail to lead the call to worship, Barb and Kathy wanted to share a few words.
Good morning. Well, because our Christmas party got sidelined this year, we didn't get to give our staff the customary appreciation gifts. So we're going to give them to them this morning. But also this year, we had several people from the congregation ask if they could make donations of a little monetary appreciation, because everybody realizes how hard our staff has worked this year to make sure that we can still have worship services. It's been a little more difficult with all of the regulations and stuff. And so they're also going to get a card with a little bit of Christmas appreciation cash in it from contributions that the congregation have made. And we'd like to thank the congregation for appreciating how much we love these guys, because we do. So Merry Christmas, and thank you for all your hard work.
Please rise for the call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim his greatness. Tell the nations what he has done.
Sing praise.
Be glad that we belong to him. Let all who worship him rejoice.
Go to the Lord for help and worship him continually.
And now,
lift up your heads, O mighty gates.
Yes.
May we bow before God in a word of prayer. Holy God, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we give you thanks for the privilege of worshiping in person here at Berry Christian Church. While we symbolically await the birth of the Christ child, we reflect on the perseverance of Joseph and Mary through their many trials and uncertainties as they found assurance in the angelic messages preparing them for the birth of the Christ child. O Lord, we too find ourselves seeking assurance that our faith will transcend the worldly challenges under which we currently live. And we seek the assurance of the presence of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which we know is made available to us through your gift of the Holy Spirit. It is in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. Before taking your seats, please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you.
On this fourth Sunday of the Advent season, the candle we light returns to the blue color for Christ's royalty, as our focus is again on the anticipated arrival of Christ, who came from the royal household of King David. As James, the brother of Jesus, declared in Acts 15, verses 15 through 17a, as he spoke before the believers in Jerusalem, and as he was referring to the Old Testament text of Amos 9:11, "Our Lord God says to us, 'I will return, says the Lord, and restore the kingdom of David. I will rebuild its ruins and make it strong again, and so all the rest of the human race will come to me.'" The fourth candle we light is called the candle of perseverance, as we appreciate how the nation of Israel persevered in their hope that salvation would be preserved through the restoration of the house of David. And we recognize our need to persevere even through our trials, however trying they may be, for our ultimate salvation is not through the things of the world, but through Christ our Lord. We persevere in faithfulness as Bonnie and Dylan Wisdom come forward for the lighting of the four weekly candles of the Advent wreath.
On this fourth Sunday of the Advent season, we begin by lighting the first three candles of the Advent wreath, which this year have been called candles of promise, expectation, and repentance. This Sunday, as we focus our attention on the fourth candle, which returns to the color of blue, the color of royalty, it helps us focus on the fact that Christ is a long-awaited descendant from the lineage of King David. And even more important than his lineage is that truth that Christ fulfills prophecy of being the Messiah who will save humanity from our sinful nature and bring us into a living relationship with our loving God. 4 weeks seem like a long time to wait for Advent. 9 months seems like a long time to wait the birth of a child. The course of a year and a half seems like a long time for the world to emerge from a dreaded virus. Centuries seem like an eternity for God's people to wait for the Messiah. Yet, as Mary and Joseph persevered through many uncertainties that they fulfilled their mission as our Lord's earthly parents, we too can persevere through our challenges as we await the day of salvation in Christ our Lord. Thus, on this fourth Sunday of the Advent season, we declare our fourth and final weekly Advent candle to be the candle of perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
come surely, Lord Jesus, as dawn follows night. Our hearts long to greet you as roses the light. Salvation, draw near us, our vision engage. One candle is lit for the hope of the age. Come quickly, Shalom, teach us how to prepare for a gift that compels us with justice to care. Our spirits are restless till sin and war cease. One candle is lit for the reign of God's peace. Come festively sing while awaiting the birth. Join angels in dancing from heaven to earth. Wave banners of good news, lift high thankful praise. One candle is lit for the joy of these days. Come wander where lion and lamb gently play, takes the day. A baby in a manger to fool the world's eyes. One candle is lit for God's loving surprise.
It's always a privilege for us to go before God in prayer on Sunday mornings. And as we lift up those who are recovering from surgery, we're grateful that all our members who had gone through surgery this past week are doing well. That includes Sonia Rader, Betty Donahue, Glenn Bartley, Doris O'Neill, Ruby Wolf, Jesus Jacobo, and Rihanna Ralston not long ago. So a number of people we've been keeping in prayer as they recover. Also at Children's Mercy Hospital, we continue to remember baby Zoe and also baby Kenneth. And of the coronavirus folks, many of our people we've been lifting up were encouraged by the fact that they are making better progress, and that is certainly good news. But new on the list includes Betty Donahue's granddaughter, Hannah Basham, in California, and Betty's son, Brad, and his wife, Teresa, are in quarantine state right now. But again, many of our other folks are making better progress. Folks, we need to continue to remember our Terry and Kay Yoakum's daughter, Julie, and son-in-law, Robert. Teresa Wolf asked that we continue to remember Deb Donegan and her husband, John Bell. But really encouraged by the fact that others we've been mentioning are making steady progress in a positive direction. Also, Gene Booth is going to be moving to rehabilitation since the fall. She's going to be going to an assisted living facility in Liberty, in Liberty, Missouri. We're going to have her address information, and I have her phone number. If anybody would like to just give Jean a call. Again, we're mindful that Jean's husband, Harry, was the first person in our congregation who actually died from the virus several months ago. And so we just hope that going to the assisted living facility is going to be a good positive step for Jean, and she'll be able to be around more folks and able to get a better attention day to day. I'm grateful for her son and daughter and their care that they've been providing day by day through these last several months. Judy Bledsoe also asked that we pray for Jason Burke, as we also continue to remember John Adams and Cindy Sexton's stepmother, Carolyn, Carol Studebaker's mother, Anna Lou. We also remember Catherine O'Neill's daughter, Susan, Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat, J.C. Riddle, Pam Roberts, Susan Hank's daughter, Candace, Jean Cantola's friend Marion Poston and Alan Stewart's sister Linda. May it be with humble hearts that we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, as the light of the Advent wreath increases by the fourth weekly candle, we're reminded that the anticipated day set aside to celebrate Christ's arrival will soon be upon us. As the brilliance of the candle's glow fills the sanctuary and shuns away the darkness, may the darkness of sin and the hidden crevices of our hearts also be cleansed away by the brilliance of your grace and glory. For despite our sinful nature, your love for us is so great that you chose to dwell among us through the presence of the Christ child. Even as the prolonged challenges of 2020 will surely follow us into the year of 2021, may your presence among us through your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ always give us everlasting hope. For in Christ we know we are victorious over any and all concerns that may prevail in this mortal world. And as 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11 calls us to seek your presence continually, we know we have hope and assurance that is everlasting. And as the New Testament text of James chapter 1, verse 12 reminds us, blessed is the one who remains steadfast under trial. For when that person has stood the test, the crown of life will be the reward one has that you have promised us. With this great hope, we will persevere through all our trials, as we also find assurance in the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Brad, for hanging out with us here in the Lord's house once again and for sharing your music ministry with us this morning. This morning's community reflection is inspired by scripture found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. While we cannot enjoy our tradition of sharing the physical communion emblems, may this time of our community reflection give us hope that our faith will overcome the temporary changes that we all must endure. May we turn to our community reflection found on the last inside page of our bulletins. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends, from beginning to end. Our hymn of contemplation is number 154. While shepherds watch their flocks, we will sing stanzas 1 and 6.
I'd like to share with you. This is from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 23. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet: "A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we are indeed grateful for once again the privilege to gather here in your house of worship. And even though we certainly may yearn to have the day in which we will be in fellowship with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that with perseverance, that day will come. We know with perseverance that indeed we are blessed in most significant and wondrous ways. So help us, guide us, that we may persevere in the ways that bring glory to your kingdom here on earth. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. On this, the fourth Sunday of the Advent season, we recognize that the candle of the Advent wreath has changed back again to the color blue, a reminder of the royalty of Christ. For we wait the birth of the Messiah who is prophesied to come from the royal line of King David. Our candle this morning I have named this year the candle of perseverance. First of all, because I felt it would fit so well into the context of our current situation. There is reward for those who persevere. Perseverance is defined as adhering to a course of action, a belief, or a purpose despite obstacles and without certainty of success. And there are certainly many stories illustrating one's willingness to persevere, even as failure may seem imminent. But during the Advent season, the story that is most poignant for us certainly is the story of the Holy Family. Joseph and Mary's untiring faithfulness to God's plan for the birth of the Christ child, despite mountainous obstacles. They reveal to us perseverance at its finest. So often when we see Mary and Joseph in the nativity scene, we say, "Oh, isn't that so nice? Isn't that just so lovely? Oh, they must have had such a wonderful life being the earthly parents of of God's Son and our Savior Jesus. Oh my, how wonderful. But we have to understand, they had to persevere through many, many challenges. In biblical times, marriages were considered far too important to leave to whims of the heart. Marriages were normally negotiated between families and often with the assistance of the local matchmaker. Arrangements were made between families, and if they were from families of distant communities, the couple involved may never have met one another until the moment that the betrothal is sealed. Betrothal, or the engagement of a Jewish couple, was the final ratification of the arranged partnership between these two people and their families. And betrothal lasted a year. It was at this point that a young woman could refuse to go ahead with the engagement, but given the preparations that took place, and with few options available, such refusal, even if she had never met her husband-to-be, were very rare. Once the betrothal was declared, it was binding. The couple were known throughout the community as husband and wife, although they continued to live apart in their respective family households for the duration of that year. A betrothal was so binding that it could only be terminated by a legal divorce. And if the man died, the woman was considered a widow. Given the binding nature of this betrothal, you can see how terribly betrayed Joseph must have felt when it was discovered that Mary was with child. Sometime after she returned from her three-month visit to her cousin Elizabeth, as Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. The obvious arrival of a child well before their wedding would have been the source of raving gossip, not only in the town of Nazareth, but surely also among relatives and acquaintances in neighboring Jewish communities. By law, Joseph could have had Mary stoned to death publicly to send a message to other young women who might choose to be unfaithful before marriage. The text tells us that Joseph was making plans to divorce Mary privately. But as Galilean towns were rarely more than a few hundred people, there would have been nothing private about the affair, and Mary would have endured the disgrace for the balance of her life. For the benefit of both Mary and Joseph, God intervened. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through verse 33, the angel Gabriel visited Mary, and in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, the text tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." But what we must bear in mind is that only Mary and Joseph received these divine interventions. Only they experienced those divine events. Tongues of gossip waged and stares of disgust and indignation followed Mary and Joseph's every move. Surely friendships and even relationships between families were strained in a culture that took the strict protocols of betrothal very seriously. Indeed, it took great courage for Joseph and Mary to persevere in the face of great opposition. It took immense fortitude for Joseph to go ahead and take Mary as his beloved wife. It took courage for Mary to remain in Nazareth of Galilee rather than to run off in disgrace to distant relatives in Judah. And the perseverance of Mary and Joseph didn't stop just when the decision was made to go ahead and become husband and wife. for additional obstacles still prevailed. There was the census. If Joseph had remained a bachelor and had chosen to put the Mary affair behind him, it would have been much easier to make his trek to his family's home of origin in Bethlehem to register himself as the Roman census required. But yet, as husband and wife, now he had the added burden of caring for his wife and making arrangements for a child's birth in a location that was not his home. His family ties to Bethlehem were also certainly distant. How else would it have been that there were no relatives who would house them, and an animal stable had to suffice? And then after the birth of Jesus, Herod's threat loomed over them. Enraged by the wise men's story of the birth of a child who was prophesied to become king, Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 tells us that Herod gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighborhood who were 2 years old and younger. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 tells us an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you to leave. Once again, Joseph and Mary had to persevere. In the face of yet more opposition, they had to leave Bethlehem and figure out how they would try to make a living, hopefully in an unknown enclave of Jewish people in this foreign country of Egypt. And of course, we know they did this for 4 years until the death of Herod in 4 BC. Then troubles would have followed Joseph and Mary again with the return to Nazareth. Folks in small, close-knit communities often have long memories, don't they? Even trying to get directions. You know, when you're the newcomer, well, how do I get to so-and-so's house? Oh, well, you know, you go down to the house that used to belong to Aunt Mary. Turn there. And then from, you know, take a right-hand turn there. Go down about 2 blocks, and then there's the house that so-and-so also used to own. Take a left right there. You know what I mean? That's just trying to get directions. I always found it humorous that in the little town we lived in West Texas, the kids thought it was a great prank to go around and steal the signs off the post. You know, I don't know what they did with them. But for those of us who didn't grow up there, GPS doesn't work very well in small West Texas towns. And so you had to stop and ask, well, where does so-and-so live? I'm trying to find so-and-so. You see, long memories. Relatives and one-time friends would have well remembered that nearly 4 years prior, Mary and Joseph had gotten married quickly, even before the year of the betrothal was complete. For Mary was found to be with child from somebody other than Joseph. And of course, Mary would have been suspected to be unfaithful while visiting her cousin Judah. The young child Jesus would have been known as a mamzer. He was an estranged person born from a forbidden relationship. The characteristic would have marked Jesus for the balance of his childhood. It would have restricted his ability to advance through the ranks as a distinguished young Jewish man in his hometown and in his local synagogue. Even as other children were born to Mary and Joseph, the couple's reputation would have still been tarnished in Nazareth for the balance of their lives. Even though Joseph and Mary surely knew of God's great guidance through the intervention of God's spiritual presence, through the appearances of Gabriel and the angel of the Lord, still, for the duration of their earthly lives, they had to persevere in their own willingness to adhere to God's great plan. For in the face of gossip, disdain, and murmured ridicule, only they knew that they were the earthly parents of the long-awaited Messiah. As Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 affirms, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Emmanuel, God, is with us. For Mary and Joseph, perseverance surely was the ability to adhere to a course of action, a belief, or a purpose, despite obstacles and without certainty of success. Concerning our lives, with whatever obstacles that may be before us in this year of pandemic and economic uncertainty, may the example of Joseph and Mary inspire us to honor God through our own perseverance. The New Testament writer of Hebrews reminds us that the saints that have passed on before us are residing in the heavenly grandstands, watching over us the living, who are like the athletes on the field, engaged in the challenges of our earthly lives. The saints are cheering us on to accomplish God's good works. As the text for this morning's community reflection states in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, as for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin that holds on to us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. And thus, the sign outside, on one side, it simply says, perseverance pays off. And for people of faith, it pays off spiritually, doesn't it? The text, James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed are those who remain steadfast under trial, for as they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life, which God has promised. Do you know Christ? Is He your Lord and Savior? If He isn't, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed, or today can be the day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, it's number 163. We'll sing both stanzas, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. 163, please. Christmas Eve services that will be held on Thursday evening. And again, if you are interested in attending and haven't let us know yet, again, please fill out either the flyer and put that in the offering plate in the foyer, or if you will, please call the office or send an email to Carol first part of this week so we can know who's going to be attending. And Brad and Gail, thank you both so much for filling in this morning. We're grateful. Thank you. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us, and for this we give thanks. In the name of Christ, who is Lord and Savior.
Little mortal. mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descends.